Good morning, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin. It's Sunday morning in London in the UK, and we're here at our usual live time, a little bit later than normal, got back at 9 in the morning. And we want to welcome you to this conversation, to this wondering, and say how excellent it is that all of us are in this conversation. The world is rather bonkers currently. And so it's my wish and my hope that somehow this conversation meets us in our humanity and our kindness and compassion for one another, so that we can in some way find support and warmth and hope together in this conversation. And we wanted to mention as well today that on the 4th and 5th of November, there is a plan for me and our lovely colleague Andy in Third Space to be running a 2-day program. It's over the weekend of the 4th and 5th of November. And we want to invite you to join us. We're going to be talking about what it means to be with human beings in this way that Justin and I work in, with people and groups. And we wanted to tell you about it, in case you're listening now on Sunday, the 22nd of October, and it's in a couple of weeks' time, and you'd like to spend the weekend with us. It's online, so you can join from anywhere as long as the time zone works. And you can find out more by going to our website, you can go to turningtowards.life because it links to Third Space, but you can go to wearethirdspace.org and look at our programs and see if you would like to come. So we want to encourage you to do that. I also want to encourage you, if you're not signed up already, to go to turningtowards.life and sign up for these chats, these conversations, to come into your inbox each week, because we have Justin, who's very clever and set up a way that each person who signs up can receive this in their inbox. And I know that I receive it every week, and I'm really grateful to receive it and often click on it and listen when I'm on the train or something. And it's a really helpful, easy way of accessing us when you're not on Facebook, or you're not on Instagram, or all the other things. So you can sign up if you would like to. And Justin, thank you for choosing this wonderful source by Margaret Wheatley, sometimes called Meg Wheatley. I love it that we keep finding, I say this all the time, but it is miraculous to me that we keep finding sources that feel like we can and want to talk about them in the context of Turning Towards Life. So thank you.
Well, the good news is we are 300 and something weeks into this conversation, Lizzie, but we're only 300 and something weeks in, and there are fortunately way more than 300 interesting, valuable, rich sources for us to talk about, so I don't think we're going to run out anytime soon, I suspect. I want to add my voice to your encouragement for everyone to check out our Foundations of Coaching program. That's the name to look out for when you go to We Are Third Space. Look out for Foundations program. Led by Lizzie and Andy. It's going to be wonderful. We would so love to meet you there. And thank you all for being with us, for joining us, maybe anew or staying with us all this time. And here we are with this source. So this poem, Lizzie, I came across because our other very dear and precious colleague, Nina, who is currently leading our professional coaching course, read this at the start of our long weekend session that we just had for the program, and it touched me very deeply, and I thought it would be very good for us to have in our conversation. So as usual, you can find this on the Turning Towards Life website, or in our Facebook group, or in the notes to all the podcast versions all over the place, Spotify and YouTube and Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and all that. It's called We Never Know Who We Are. We never know who we are. This is strange, isn't it? Or what vows we made, or who we knew, or what we hoped for, or where we were when the world's dreams were seeded. Until the day just one of us sighs a gentle longing and we all feel the change. One of us calls a name, and we all know to be there. One of us tells a dream, and we all breathe life into it. One of us asks why, and we all know the answer. It is very strange. We never know who we are.
We never know who we are. We never know who we are. This is strange, isn't it? Or what vows we made, or who we knew, or what we hoped for, or where we were when the world's dreams were seeded. Until the day just one of us sighs a gentle longing, and we all feel the change, one of us calls a name, and we all know to be there. One of us tells a dream, and we all breathe life into it. One of us asks why, and we all know the answer. It's very strange. We never know who we are.
Thanks, Lizzie. I realised as you were reading this, Lizzie, that in this two-part poem that Meg Wheatley has written, where there's a way in which we don't know who we are, and then we discover who we are by being with one another, by listening to one another. It's my first way of understanding it. She says very clearly that we don't know what vows we made or what we knew or what we hoped for or any of that when the world's dreams were seeded. But I actually wanted to start closer in than the world's dreams were seeded. Because when I look at my own life, and sometimes, and I've kept a journal, as you know, Lizzie, for many years, and I write often, finding a way to have what's inside get outside onto the page. I realize that very often I don't know who I was when my own dreams were seeded, let alone when the whole world's dreams were seeded. I'll forget myself in ways, and I'll come back to my journal and I'll read. And I was just doing this the other day. I was reading back something like 8 years, so before we started turning towards life. And I could see as I read back how different I am in many, many ways, how the things that worry me and the things that confuse me are different now to the when they were then. And some of the things that worried me and confused me have sort of cleared up to be replaced by other things. But I also find when I read back that there I am reminding myself of what I hoped for and who I was and what I felt really committed to that I forget. And how often I find my way back to that because of people I know who love me, who see me, who will remind me what I'm really up to. So in a way, in my own journal, I'm reminding myself, and then I have people like you and other people around who've paid attention and who can remind me of what I'm most deeply committed to. And that act of remembering, this part where Meg Wheatley says, and we all feel the change when one of us tells, seems to be such a necessary dynamic in my own life, that we need one another in order to remember that none of us can be up to what really matters, to what's our deepest calling, or without one another. Maybe I'll come to this as we talk, but to even imagine what it might mean to remember who we were when the whole world's dreams were seeded beyond my own remembering and forgetting opens up a whole vista. But for now, I'm reminded about who we can be for one another, and how necessary it is that we do that for one another so that we can remember what we would otherwise so easily forget.
Really appreciate this, Justin, and I'm finding myself taken to my younger years where I genuinely had no clue what my dreams were. And I don't know, I wasn't one of those people that knew things about what the trajectory of my life would be. Like, I didn't have a strong particular identity or a mission, like I'm going to be a doctor or I'm going to be a something. I didn't have like a path that a dream of mine had laid out. And it's so, so true for me that in every sigh that somebody had a longing inside of, or every change that somebody felt, or every name that somebody called, and I was with them in a kind of growth context and development and inquiry and wondering what on earth this life experience is supposed to be for and why are we here and all that stuff. It wasn't until those conversations began to happen that I could get inklings of my dreams. Like I needed connection to bring things to life. Like I'm not a person who can do things and imagine things up on my own so far. I'm somebody who is, I think, very wired for being with somebody who's asking why, or when somebody's breathing life into something and I'm with them, then I can find something of my dreams. And so I love this wondering and this whole we never know who we are line feels so resonant with me, because that's just my daily experience. Like I know lots about me, but the word who is the thing. Like what is the nature of my who-ness? What's the nature of your who-ness? And everyone else's. And goodness knows what's really going on here. Really, really. And so it does feel very strange to not know who I am. And it also feels really important to not know who I am. Like to have that kind of openness of understanding that to know oneself and to know one another is probably an impossible dream. Because we're unfathomable. Like to relate to you as a massive mystery seems to allow me to know you more than the tiny way I know you. And to think I know who you are and to know who I am seems to kind of finish something that shouldn't be finished. Like if I knew who I was, maybe I wouldn't ask myself questions anymore. Maybe I wouldn't wonder anymore. Maybe I wouldn't be curious anymore. Maybe I wouldn't be as open, as impressionable, as confused as I need to be to learn things. So this premise of never knowing who I am and finding that very strange seems like a beautiful kind of affordance for an invitation to learning somehow, and just making that connection in this moment. And maybe that's partly what the, I know Margaret Wheatley is making massive invitations to us in her life, and I wonder whether that's part of this, is cultivating the kind of openness that it takes to really learn and also to really connect with one another. You know, if I've defined you, if I've decided who you are, how on earth can I really ask you questions that come from a genuine place of curiosity rather than questions that just try and confirm the thing I already think I know about you?
I'm feeling very touched by the possibility that if we never really know who we are, and we never really know who anyone else is either, that we might stay open. I think something you said about when we say we know something closes down. And that's why these lines about we don't know what vows we made or who we knew or what we hoped for or where we were when the world's dreams were seeded matters so much, because it's very easy to have, I think, a very sort of simplistic reductionist answer to that question, which of course I was nowhere. I wasn't born yet. My body wasn't in the world yet. And there's a whole metaphysical response to this about what we think consciousness is and where we come from in the first place and all of that. But even if I set that aside for a moment, when any of us is born into the world, we're, I think without argument, born into a stream that began long before we were born. And very, very quickly we become participants in this stream. We become inseparable from the stream. So there really is a way in which, because we don't arrive separate from the world, there really is a way in which you could say there is what we knew and what we hoped for and where we were when the world's dreams were seeded, and it's very mysterious. How did I get to be this person? How did I get to care about what I care about? How did I get to love what I love? Where did that begin? And it's an unanswerable question. I'm not actually suggesting that it's possible to have an answer, and maybe that's exactly the point, but to know that, to understand that any knowing about ourselves that we take to be the final story can't be, because we only have what we know, which is so small compared to this vast mystery, the historical one, the one that goes all the way back to the beginning of life and before, and also the one that has us born into families and cultures. And so I suppose part of the question for me is, what do we do with the strangeness? And one response would just be to live in the mystery of it, which has its wonders, but it might leave us lost from ourselves and lost from one another. And another response is, well, how do we find our way into some kind of connection and some kind of understanding enough that we can exist in the world? And I'm very touched at the beginning of the second verse, Lizzie, where Margaret Wheatley writes, until the day that just one of us sighs a gentle longing and we all feel the change. There's something about what happens if we will allow ourselves to share and listen to our longings, which are so different from our demands and so different from our fears and so different from our, all of which have a place, they mean something. But when we listen to one another's longings, or we call one another's names, we find that being in the strangeness of this mystery isn't so frightening. It seems to me, in a way, one of the moves that we can make is to really own up together to what a mystery this whole life is, and be in that conversation with one another, with all of its, yes, with all of its longing and all of its naming and all of its dreaming. And that's a conversation which is in a world of getting things done, getting ahead, all of those kind of things, getting what I want. It's a conversation that doesn't have very much space unless we make it. And one of the things I feel like we've been doing over this last 6 and a bit years is trying to make space for exactly this conversation. I suspect that's why, it's one of the reasons why it means something to us, and it's one of the reasons why people come and join us as well. Because this question really matters to us humans.
Yeah, I'm really taken by this word longing and noticing. Maybe it's like a wider culture thing of, like, that feels like a luxury or something. You know, that feels like what you get to get to if everything else is sorted or something. And I can feel all the ways that I have so many different kinds of longings, and then they get pushed away, that they get kind of shelved or cupboarded for a later time or something. And what would it be just to stay in that question of, what do I long for? And see what kind of connection is needed, is necessary, is facilitative of those longings being met. Because again, I'm not sure for me how possible it is to feel that kind of longing and then make it all happen myself. Like, that just doesn't seem like the route to longing being met. It seems like meeting of our longings is something that happens in relationship, in community, in talking about our longings. I feel like they get to have a life if they get talked about, like you said about your journal. Having what's on the inside, like a longing gets born on the inside of us from a place that probably comes from the same place as the we never know who we are place. But it's like a thread of something, like something at the beginning, probably unsayable. And then in the trying of the saying, something more substantial gets named. And maybe it takes years to name a longing. You know, I can feel that as well. Maybe it takes a long time for a longing to come, to coalesce, to become what it might be as an invitation from the realm of we never know who we are or something. And I'm really curious about what it means to ask that question of ourselves. What am I longing for? And then wondering what it means to actually answer the question over a lifetime, and how that shapes us, and how our longings could inform and shape our becoming. Seems like a very important and also quite elusive question.
One of the things that so I love having these conversations, Lizzie, because for lots of reasons. But one reason is that just by slowing down and talking and listening to one another for a while, we very often find our way into a bigger, deeper question than the one that seems to present itself straight off. And what's really occurring to me is, in talking with you, is how easy it is for us to cover up this great mystery where we never really know who we are, because we don't know where we came from, and we don't know how we began, and we don't know. There's so much we can't possibly know about ourselves, given our place in a vast array and a vast history and all that. It's got me thinking that very often we cover up our sense of unease at that not knowing by trying to be very certain. I want this, I want that, and I want this, and I'm that. And maybe you're this and you're that, but I'm thinking mostly about what we make of ourselves. And what a gift it is when we're with someone who won't so quickly buy the story that we're telling about ourselves that covers up our unease about the mystery. And he'll be really gentle with us in wanting to understand, wanting to help us express something that's underneath all of the surface things, so we can get in contact with this mystery that we are. And one of the places to start, you said it so beautifully, is to attend to our deep longings over the course of a life, our really most genuine longings. And I was thinking about, I mean, maybe because we've just last weekend completed a session of the Third Space professional coaching course, I was thinking about what a gift it has been for me, Lizzie, for anyone who's been a coach for me, and how much I know I attend to not just listening to the things that somebody says when I'm talking to them, but also listening for the something that's underneath and seeing if I can be part of creating the conditions in a conversation where, as well as the, you know, whatever it is I want to sort this or this that out, I want this or that promotion, I want not to be in a difficulty with my partner, I want all the different things that might bring someone into that kind of conversation, we can listen together for Who are you? What have you been hoping for all your life? What are the dreams that were seeded long before you were even born that might be finding expression in you? What do you long for? What's the dream that is waiting to be breathed life into? And we have to talk and listen with one another in a very different way. In order to do that, we have to be not convinced by the cover story. I don't mean being disrespectful to the cover story, but we have to be prepared to enter in to talking and listening and being with one another in a way that allows for all of this that Margaret Wheatley is pointing to have its place and to be honoured. And what a joy it is. It's actually just an incredible joy to be able to do that with people, to be able to do that with one another. Gets us into the beautiful, meaningful, very rich and very dignified underneath of everything.
Mm. I was just thinking, Justin, of some people that I work with at the moment, and how almost impossible this question is of what am I longing for? Because of the narratives of productivity and economy and efficiency and doing, this is so different to that. And our whole lives, we've been surviving. You know, we've been making ends meet or staying alive or not acknowledging the things that hurt too much. And so we get busy and do stuff. And then all of those mechanisms of safety and coping just feel like what life is. That's what there is to do here. So my longings, like, what was that? And I feel like it's such a beautiful stand to make that exists, as well as you say, the stories that are going on about what it means to be here and what there is to do here. And many times in our lives, this is for me anyway, those longings come in spite of all of that. But then it's really hard, because when I start longing for something and I'm in the midst of the doing and the productivity and the efficiency and the getting on with things, it feels like something terrible is happening, because it's not the thing I've always used to be able to cope with being here as a human being. And so I'm just having this real respect for the things that want to come in spite of us, you know, the things that want to come forth in spite of our trying to never have that conversation ever, not necessarily consciously, but how is it to be in that kind of opening where a longing comes forth and it doesn't fit with anything that I've got going on in my life, that I've created in my life before? And so there's a force that's much bigger, it seems to me, than any of that story stuff that is completely vital and important and wonderful. And there's a big and there, which is there's a huge realm of things that call to us that don't match those stories and mechanisms that we've come to live by. And I'm feeling some awe at that, and also appreciating that we can be that kind of opening for one another too. Like, I can ask you a question, or I can be connected with you in a certain way that has you go, oh, there's something here that I didn't realize was here because you asked me that question. And of course, you know, you talked about consciousness and where we come from and all of that mysteriness of it. Part of the mystery for me is I never know what your role in my life is. I never know what anyone's role in my life is, and what purpose they have been, what purpose had been seeded in them for me, like how, what they were going to open up in me, what they were going to bring forth in me. And so also being open on that level to the connectedness that we are and the non-separateness that we are, that each person along the way maybe has a doorway, an opening, a kind of relationship that brings something forth that I didn't even know was possible or existed.
Wonderful place to end, Lizzie. I'm really touched by this. That not only do we not know really who we are, but I want to take up what you've just said. the extraordinary mystery that we don't really know, even the people who we think we know what their role in our life is. We can't possibly know. Not really, we get glimpses. So I'm leaving this conversation with them with that question in my mind and heart. What? Who are you in my life? Beyond all the ways, all the stories that I have, all the ways that I take you to be, and knowing that I can never fully know it. And that's a wonderful, also that's a wonderful mystery and a wonderful way of staying open to one another. So thank you as always, Lizzie, for being here and being in this conversation right in the thick of the complexities of life. And thank you everyone for being with us. And if you've listened to the end, stayed to the end, thank you for staying with us. And I want to make another encouragement to check out wearethirdspace.org and go and look at the Foundations of Coaching program that's coming up very soon after this podcast, and is over the weekend, which is lovely. So maybe that will make it accessible to some people who would not otherwise be able to join. And also head over to turningtowards.life and add your email to our subscription list and get the sources and a link to the conversations in your email inbox every week. We'd be so glad to send that to you. And all being well, we will be back same time next week with a source chosen by you, Lizzie.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.